You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
Another edition of the Dugout Yankees podcast, the Dugout Bleed Blue Show. Your co-host Steve, and also my Bleed Blue partner in crime, Chris, and of course, New York Yankees writer for the WordPress Bleed Blue Show, Kenny D, talking some New York Yankees.
Kenny
fresh
D.
off an afternoon win, 2 out of 3 versus the A's. Kenny and Chris, what is going on? How y'all doing?
Oh man, you know, look, Kenny, you have to repeat that line you said when you were just off air about. You know, how you like to listen to, when you listen to the morning broadcast or whatever you said. Repeat that. So it's a great segue to the opening the show, man. Say it one more time.
Oh, yeah. I listen to the sports talk radio in the morning, your ESPN radio, but only on days the Yankees win. Only after the Yankees win. I don't want to hear Mike and Mike talk about how bad the Yankees are. I want no part of that.
I love it!
That opens the floodgates of let's discuss that. What is it about the national media, or about when the Yankees lose or win, or however you want to look at it, that disgusts you as a fan, Kenny D and Chris? How do you feel about that? The talk. Do you feel that they know what they're talking
about? Kenny, you better take this first because I'm very vitriol with this one.
Can you repeat the question? I couldn't hear you there.
Well, in a nutshell, when they do talk, let's say ESPNs or the national media, after a loss, with the things that they talk about when it comes to the Yankees, like what is it the content that they say that you can't stand when the Yankees lose, or what they say?
They say the Yankees, they're inconsistent. They have no bullpen. But you look at it. They have, 46 wins now? Is that what they have?
Yep.
Yes.
That's a lot, okay? They say the AL East is no good. Well, the AL East got 5 teams with 40 or more wins. No other division can even come close to that.
Other
division's got more than 3, I think. I mean, they're always looking to bash the Yanks and the AL East at the first chance they got. And I just can't stand it. They have something invested in the Yankees being bad, and I don't know what it is. Maybe they just don't like the way the Yankees used to spend money. They don't like the culture. They don't like how good we used to be. But they got to face it. We're a good team, and they're kind of forced to admit that after a win, and that's why I like to listen and feel good about myself.
That's right.
This is Christopher's alley.
You know, they're hypocrites, man. That's what it is, Ken. They're hypocrites. It's everything you said, plus the fact that they feel that they have to have some kind of spin, whether it be negative or positive, when in regards to a story franchise like this, or anyone great. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. In recent years, LeBron James can according to them. He has a red cape on with an S on his chest, and he goes around beating up everybody on every other planet. But when he has a leg cramp, in the finals like last in 2014, he dogged it out. He wasn't ready to play. He probably sat down because he wasn't he feared what the running game of the Spurs. But wait a minute, he was Superman yesterday, you know. And it's the same thing with the Yankees. You know, when we were killing them anywhere from 95 through, we were killing them all a long time, really. I mean, let's just ballpark this and say 95 through
2004, maybe 2004.
No, I was going to go longer than that. I was going to go 2010.
Longer? Oh, yeah, longer. You can go longer.
Okay.
I don't mind.
Yeah. Well, we were a storied franchise, but when we got swept, okay, back to 2004. You're right. Okay, let me use that example. When we got swept in 2004 by that team, I'm not going to say their name, all of a sudden, we would allow, there need to be major changes made. We would allow this team, that the most overrated and luckiest team to get this far. Our franchise is in deep trouble. we need to reassess our salary cap again. We need to do this. Wait a minute. We got beat, yeah, but was, you know, and we got beat by a team that was on a tremendous roll. Could anybody else have beaten us that year? I don't think so. But so what happens is they're in the business of spinning things to make it seem like as if they are the word in the Bible Almighty concerning just basically sports. I was going to say the Yankees, and I was going to say Major League Baseball, but it's all sports. Look what they did to Tiger Woods. So there you go right there. So that's me, Steve. I just don't have any love for, and I'm going to put it out there. I don't have any love for a certain major network that's owned by Disney, okay, because they have really sort of washed down and minimized the effect of what real sports is by putting their own spin on it and often with negative results. That's it. That's all I got to say about that, sir.
Hence why we do the Bleed Blue Show, why we created this platform. Because it's a voice for real fans with real perspective. Mm-hmm. And, Kenny, there's a reason why I pretty much, in a nutshell, not all the way, but I've stopped maybe watching that certain network, like on a day in, day out, when mm-hmm. it comes to like SportsCenter and Sports Talk. Because you know why? Yeah. It goes back to what Chris said. I don't remember, it was about 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, because it's one of those podcasts we did, Chris. It was like
mm-hmm.
a loyal fan. All you got to do really, if you haven't watched the game or you're missing the game, all you got to do is look at the bot score, look at certain stats, and just know the story of what is going on in the game by just reading certain stat mm-hmm. lines on the box score. And real fans will know how to pick that up. I don't need another grown man pushing a negative narrative to sell stories, because that's what it comes down to. Because when it comes down to, they need to push an agenda to sell articles mm-hmm. or get clicks mm-hmm. for their website. And every sport has it. I mean, let's be honest. In baseball, mm-hmm. it's the Yankees. In basketball, it's the Lakers. In mm-hmm. Football, it's the Cowboys. And I think hockey, I don't think hockey may have one. Because you know what, ESPN,
they don't have one.
I'm going to say the network. When they lost the rights to the NHL, they just kind of like, screw it, F it. So they really focus on the major three team sports, and the fourth one is just out there. They don't really talk about hockey unless it's the Stanley Cup Finals or the playoffs.
Right.
If that.
Right.
But those are the three teams, the Lakers, Cowboys, and the Yankees, because those are the fan bases that they have – they could push the narrative on, and it will cause a reaction through all the teams in that sport or that league.
Absolutely. So, yep.
But when you say things like this, see, Kenny, when they say things like the bullpen was not good, what baseball are they watching? You're talking about the 2015 Yankees? Because I've heard that sometimes, too. Because I think sometimes you can't watch all the sports. Not all the sports. You can't watch every team day in and day out. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. If you have mm-hmm. national coverage, you can only see somewhat of a broad perspective and a couple of highlights from SportsCenter and call it a day, and you can form an opinion mm-hmm. based off some highlights. When you're a Bleed Blue Show stakeholder like Steve, Chris, and Kenny, or Knickerbocker Ave, or the Round Table on Sundays, you watch these mm-hmm. guys play by play, almost literally rewinding the tape. You have more of a say than the national media.
Exactly. Golly, I could have said that better myself, man. That's exactly what it is, man.
But you're a
real sports fan. I would say that you're closer to somebody like Kenny Dorian, right? He knows the players, the capabilities, the management style, the franchise. Day in, day out stuff that's important when you are a stakeholder in your franchise. But when you're a reporter and you're not that invested, that's my dog. Pay no attention to him. when you're not that invested, then you have a tendency to criticize. You know. For instance, I'm just putting this out there. If Tanaka gives up a game-winning home run tonight after he's had five straight great outings, five complete games, maybe three maybe 4 wins out of it. Uh-huh. You know, that gets totally wiped out, totally nullified, because it's better to go for them to go ahead and preach to the negativity, because it brings fans in, and that's totally unfair if you're a diehard fan of a team. And so, I have no love for that network. They can play with their little Mickey Mouse toys and stuff like that. I don't watch them. I haven't in almost 2 years. Let me backtrack. I did watch the NBA Finals because unfortunately I was slave to that because I wanted to see that.
Well, that's live sports. That's different. I mean, live sports is one thing. I'm talking about the studio shows with the
forget that.
Highlights.
I don't even know
that's
them anymore.
Yeah.
But,
I
don't even get involved with that anymore, man. I don't even know who they are. I know Mike and Mike still on, because I still hear the rhetoric. But other than that, I couldn't even tell you who their anchors are, because they have no I have no interest in them. You know, what I do like, the network, and look, I'm not plugging anybody because this is the Bleed Blue, but the network that caters to Major League Baseball exclusively, I like them a little bit better. Because what happens is they don't set up stupid shows to analyze and reanalyze and double analyze and triple analyze and bring in an expert from 1950 on, like the other network does. What they do is they tell you about the real, the here and now, and that's it. They don't have extra stupid stats. You know, he's the first 23-year-old to hit 3 home runs in his first 10 games since 1946. I don't hear that. You know, I don't want to hear made up stats. I want to know how many game winning RBIs this guy has. How does he perform in the clutch? Is he a good replacement at short for what we had, or third for what we had? And can he fit in? Which is also a question I'll have for you later on, Kenny B. And so on and so forth. So yeah, I totally get it, Steve and Kenny. I totally get it. I totally buy into the fact that we can support ourselves with our knowledge, our know-how, and our superiority in just loving our team. That's what I feel.
Amen. Could have said it better. So let's talk about today's game versus the A's. 2 out of 3 versus the A's. The Yankees win. Kenny D, 2-game win streak. Anything you want to take with this heading into the next series? But as far as the series versus the A's and even the series prior versus the Rays, what are your thoughts?
But there's two guys right now in the A's that are on absolute fire, and that's Brett Gardner and Mark Teixeira. They are carrying this team.
Yep.
I mean, like, both are now All-Stars after Gardner got it was an injury replacement for Alex Gordon announced earlier today, which is just huge.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the game last night, and Teixeira hit a couple of moonshots, and he made that diving play. It saved that saved an extra base hit. That was just clutch. I mean, sure, Teixeira gets some help from that short porch, but when you're hitting him into the bleachers, that's a home run everywhere. And he hit one of those last night. That was just rip.
Wow.
As far as Gardner, I saw it somewhere since like June 18th, he's batting like 420 or something like that. He's about fire. He got another 3 hits tonight with that home run in the first. He's playing solid defense as always. I think with Ellsbury back now, there's a lot of pressure taken off Gardner. He can swing a little more free, knowing that he's not the only one at the top of the order that's going to get on base.
Mm-hmm.
When you got Chase Headley hitting behind you, okay, Headley's not a bad hitter, but he strikes out a lot. He's going to hit, like, maybe 260. Ellsbury's hitting 320. I know that's with a lot of missed time, but still, even with that, I bet he's still be hitting somewhere around 300. And it's a huge discrepancy, 260 to 300. And it makes Gardner's job easier, and he's already doing such a good job.
Right.
But he can only get better.
Wow.
Let me ask this question, though. This is about today's game. Tanaka, man. I liked it.
The thing with Tanaka is that when he keeps the ball down in the zone, he's a much better pitcher. You see, when he gives up hits, it's because he either leaves pitches out over the plate or that splitter just doesn't move at all, and it tanks there. And that's when he does give up his, you know, his two runs a game. But he gave up, I think he only gave up two hits tonight, or this afternoon, and that's huge.
Yes.
He's fine, okay?
One of them was unearned. But, seven and two-thirds innings, that's what I'm talking about. We need
that's
more of
that. That's ace right there.
And
that's ace stuff.
Not just him. The rest of the starters, too.
That's ace
wow,
stuff. That's what we were looking for when we got him. And that's what we've seen. Maybe not as consistently as we would have hoped, but in these last, I don't know, five, six starts, it's been there. It's definitely
nice.
Been there.
Wow.
Yeah, he's the real deal, if you ask me. People are going to hate, but I like him.
I do, too.
Mm-hmm. Keeping that ball down at location, location, location. Now could we turn that into a trend? And could we turn that trend into some consistency out of this guy? I would like to see that going in after the All-Star break. And I think we're on a decent path. I thought before the All-Star break, if we could get like a couple game cushion, because I remember looking at the schedule and I saw Tampa was going to be battling with Kansas City, and they're doing a great job, Kansas City. Thank you, Kansas City. Appreciate that. But anyway,
I don't wish no badness. I don't wish any badness on anyone, Steve. But I'm glad Alex Gordon went down.
Yeah,
I hear what you're saying.
Gardner wasn't getting in final vote. Gardner was not going to get in. He was sitting in fourth place, and I didn't see a big surge.
And yeah. I don't wish nothing bad on anyone, man. But I'm sorry. When they announced that over the loudspeaker that Gardner was made it to the team, the place went crazy.
I think that's
a really really good shot in the arm for him. I'm very very happy.
Yeah, very happy too. That's good, man. That's a good look for him. Remember when he first came onto the scene, like, the guy was, he was wet behind the ears. Now to what he has become, it's just a good growing process as Yankee fans watching this guy develop. And
I know, man.
I'm gonna come back to Gardner because I'm just kind of rejuvenated knowing that Ellsbury's back, and Ellsbury and Gardner 1-2 over three, both batting over 300 right now. That's a very good thing. Very very good thing. Now, let's talk about the debut, Kenny, of the Mr. Figueroa. The guy got to be hella tired. His contributions with the doubles today, playing third today. What was your thoughts on Cole Figueroa's performance? Way to go.
I like Cole. You know, he played a solid third base. Looked really good at the plate. He got out in his first at bat, but he really ripped one right to Ike Davis at first. And that was a good sign, I thought. I knew he was going to get the Chavez, get some good hits tonight, this afternoon. And, you know, it just further validates the Yankees' farm system. It's solid down there in Triple-A, Double-A. They got what it takes to be a top-notch farm. And that's another thing that people don't like to admit because, you know, five, 6 years ago, it was not where it needed to be. It really just it was lacking in a lot of places. Now you got a lot of good prospects, a lot of good outfield prospects, a bunch of good infield prospects. I mean, we sent down Perella to bring up Figueroa, and Perella's proven that he's not a great major leaguer, but he can play up here in the big leagues. I like Figueroa as a player. Given the Headley's contract, I don't see him, you know, ever in the near future really being on this team, but he could be a utility for sure. I like having him and Perella maybe as two utility guys. You dump Gregorio Petit and Brendan Ryan, who's injured again for some reason. So I like what we have there. But, maybe not a starter in the near future.
Well, he was tearing up Triple-A.
Yeah.
He sure was.
You're not going to bench Headley.
Yeah, I know that doesn't guarantee anything. But I'm always hopeful when these guys come up like this, you know, from Scranton or wherever he came from, that, you know, he's looking at this as, wow, okay, we're winning. It's the All-Star break. Let me see what I can contribute. I hope you have something. You always hopeful for anybody that wears pinstripes. Well, not just me, but I don't know. What I liked about him is that he looked like he had a lot of little poise there. Like he wasn't afraid. Like, you know.
He wasn't even on the 40-man roster yesterday. They had to dump some relief pitcher, designate him for assignment, so that they could first put him on the 40-man roster, and then they had to option Perella down to AAA so they could bring him up to the majors. Like, they really wanted him. I thought that was kind of cool.
Right. Okay. So I don't know much about the guy, but I'm hoping – I just like the way he looked. He sort of looked like
he played for Tampa last year, primarily at second base. He was a kind of like a spot starter. He wasn't that bad.
Okay.
Well, you got to pick him up in the offseason.
Okay. Pat Steve, I'm sorry.
Fellas, the bullpen, in comparison to the rest of the league, now, because Kenny, it's been a while since we talked with you. Glad you came back. I thought we chased you off for a second. Since we last talked with you, as far as Adam Warren now is in the bullpen, now you have Shreve, Warren, you have Betances, and then I think Miller came back. What's your thought? What's the state of the bullpen? And how would you compare it within the division and I guess the rest of the league? How confident, what's your approval rating right now as it stands with the bullpen?
I really like where the bullpen's at. I think the two long relievers in Warren and Capuano, two 6-7 inning guys in Jason Shreve and Wilson, and then you've got the 8 and 9 locked up with Betances and Miller, and then sure you have a seventh guy in there like a Brian Mitchell or a Rumbelow type guy, but I think those six are the core of the bullpen for sure. And if you look at that's pretty darn good. Sure, we've had that revolving door in the bullpen. We looked like Tampa last month, but I think it's pretty much set now, and I really like where it's at. I mean, I think the starter leaves with the lead. We're going to lock it down, I think, 7-8 times out of 10, and that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
See, Miles, I know you're ecstatic about the bullpen. I know you are.
I think we potentially got the best bullpen. The best bullpen in the league, man. Potentially.
I'm gonna say
I don't want to jinx them. I want to say.
You don't want to jinx them, huh?
I don't want to jinx them because I know that matters. But.
Hey man, it ain't like any of these guys are playing with firecrackers. You ain't got to worry about this team. Feel me?
True. But I always put it on this. We had a wonderful outing today with Tanaka, and if we can keep it up with our other four guys that we have in the rotation right now, I'm pretty sure that because the bullpen is a little different. They come into relief, as we know, and in this particular franchise. Would you have a Miller, Betances, Shreve, and Wilson and these guys? Would you have that kind of battery in there, man? That kind of reliability in there, man? Hey, that makes them that much better. If our starters get to 6 innings, man, the rest of the game is a shutdown. Those guys are not going to be, let's say, compromised. You know what I mean? They're not shaky. We know what they have. We just need, and you know what? At this point, they're so good. I remember at the beginning in spring training, we were talking about, man, these guys, they look like the damn Civil War reunion, man. They're all hurt. They're all coming off Tommy John surgery. They're all this. They're all that. And it's going to be too much on our bullpen who are unproven. Well, today, I can truly tell you that our starters are improving their performance. And our bullpen is probably more reliable than any other in the National League. That
without a doubt
is very key. I mean, in the American League, I'm sorry. That is very key to the fact that look at our standing right now. Look at the standings right now. Look at the American League East standings. Look what's going on. I can almost attribute that not solely to, but a hell of a lot to, the performance of our bullpen the last month or so. You got to give us some love. And I'm very happy for them. I love them. I think what we're doing is pretty good there. I think what Giraldi's doing is we hoped for 500 by now. We got beyond that, and I think we're headed in the right direction. That's what I think. And so the bullpen is very, very, very much responsible for a lot of that success.
It's very balanced. It's very balanced.
Yes, it is.
I love it. I love it. Because it sets up for a lot of things where I like to discuss when it comes to potential people going down the revolving door. Like Kenny says, it's kind of like has that next man up thing just in case we have to go that route. I like our chances. Let's say, okay, let's put the scenario out there. Let's just put it out there. The wild card game. Let's just look way down the line. The way
now. I forgot to mention Miller. Sorry. Go ahead. Continue. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if we happen to be in one of these one-game playoff situations, if we are home or away, I am confident just using all these R's for one game. I mean, I know that's later down the line, but if you're projecting, let's say if things finish the way they do, we may be in that situation. I like our chances. That's the most consistent aspect right now on the squad right now. It's just the balance right there. I know you may not have to say that, let's say, a few years prior to last year. But the pitching, you can never have enough arms. You can never have enough arms. Now, the starting pitching, good job by Tanaka today. We just need to see it a little bit more. Same with Ivan Nova. I know he was coming off the loss versus Tampa on Sunday. Good Lord. But I don't know what to do about the starters because I think there's a lot of questions up and down because Pineda kind of cooled off a little something. Because I asked you guys if can he keep this up. You both said no. You guys were right.
You
both were right.
Yeah.
Now, but what about Kenny? What about Nova? I don't think we got your thoughts about Nova. What about your thoughts on Nova in the last 2-3 starts with him? As far as his development and his potential in the lineup.
Yeah, well, that first start back off the DL, he looked super sharp. Went like 7 innings, just dominated. And then he pitched well in the next start. I think he's had, what, that one bad start this year. He gave up a lot of runs and got knocked out. But I'm not too worried. I think he's a great number 3 guy to have in that rotation. Sitting behind... right behind Pineda. I think without him and without Tanaka, that rotation was like, well, we got to wait for Pineda to get up. And then when he lost, he was like, we're in some trouble now. But now those 3 guys, they don't have to be perfect. They have a lot of little protection in the starting rotation. And I think Nova is going to benefit from that. And so he'll pitch well. Mostly pitch well this year.
Okay. What was the question, Steve? I'm sorry.
Nova. I got to say Nova.
Nova, oh boy. Do I have to? Let's see. Listen, the last time I saw Nova, he didn't look very well.
No, he didn't.
And, that was a rough one. I don't know. I always hoped, but see, he did do what I always want a Yankee pitcher to do. He gave 5 innings. It wasn't cute, but he gave us 5 innings. I would appreciate the fact that we all, our starting pitcher has been, for the most part, the walking wounded all year. For some of us, for the starters to go 6, he went 5. He looked kind of crappy. He gave up 3 earned. I think he 3 earned runs. I believe
it was 3 earned. 3 earned. Yeah.
But those walks were awful. Nothing. Oh my God. Now if you're throwing a ball, of course, you know, a ball itself is always out of the strike zone. But dang, this guy was way off, and he was not ready to pitch that day. And I'm like, man, you know, I didn't know what to think. So I really tried to ignore it. I'm not gonna lie to you. I mean, I was like, "Ugh, this isn't good." So I don't know. He just has, you know what? It's like all the rest of the starters. They have to really kind of, I'm afraid to use this term, but they still have to be brought along slowly, man, including Tanaka, man. You know, we have to use, we have to have kid gloves here. And the reason I say that is because if you look at our injury report, we're getting, it's getting smaller. It's not what it was before. I mean, I know Beltran's on it. Who else is on there? Headley just got on it. I was hoping Ryan wouldn't be that long. But, you know, until we get all hands on deck and until these guys, until we do that, we're not going to be all the way confident. But you know what? This past week was a tremendous shot in the arm. You know, we've got some really good leadership situations now. You know, and with, you know, with Ellsbury back and all of this kind of stuff, it's, as a team, we're looking great. I'm just not really confident, like you alluded to earlier, Steve. I'm not totally confident in our rotation yet, but damn it, we're working on it. We're working on it. It's a work in progress.
We're working on it, man.
We're working on it.
You got to piece it together, Chris, and Kenny, you got to piece it together.
Yeah, but the bullpen is ready.
You mentioned the Ellsbury. Let me go back to Ellsbury and Garner. Is Ellsbury, did he come back too soon from injury? Because you know the guy going to be hurt before the end of the season. I mean, did he come back too soon? I mean.
No, I don't think so.
I'm just kidding.
I think he would have come back a lot earlier if it was up to him. Yeah. I think he's wanted to play for a while now. And the Yankees, they kept him out of the – they wanted to make sure he was 110% before he returned to the lineup. I think he'll be okay, but – it's part of Ellsbury's game to get injured. Just the way he plays hard, plays aggressive. He's going to get injured occasionally. Just hope that's not too severe. And this one didn't look that severe, but then it ended up being like a month and a half, which is rough. But I think he'll be okay.
I agree with that. You know, he's, you know, And also, just the All-Star break, the rest even further, you know. So,
not the All-Star.
You know, he doesn't have a confidence problem. Ellsbury doesn't have a confidence problem. He'll be okay. I don't see him. He wants to get out there. He wants to play. He wants to contribute. You know, he's definitely got a wonderful rapport. And a lot of people don't talk about this. He has a great rapport with Giraldi. He's got to talk all the time, baseball. And so I know he wants to play, and I know he wants to get out here and do his thing. And so he's got some more rest coming. He'll be fine.
Yeah. Speaking of the All-Star game, you guys happen to watch? I know I'm going way off track. We'll get back to some Yankees. I just had to ask that. You guys even watching it?
Yeah, I watch it. I like the All-Star game. I've been an All-Star fan since I was very little, probably in third grade. I like when all the players get together for that common cause. But the only thing that's different from when I was a kid, and this is more for you, Kenny, the only thing that's different is that back when I was a kid, the American League and National League generally hated each other.
Sure did.
Yeah, it's the only time they played.
They hated each other. It was definite hate. And exactly. I seem to remember, I don't know what year it was, but I was a little kid. I remember Frank Robinson, who used to be in a National League. He was an MVP in the National League. He was with the Orioles, and he was MVP there, too. And he was yelling across the field about how we're going to beat you guys' asses. You cannot do anything with us. We're the best. We're this, we're that. You know, we have the better hitters over here, man. We have the better teams over here. No offense, Henry. Talking to Hank Aaron. No offense, Henry and Willie, but you guys are playing in the Bush League right now with all these punks that are over there with you. And he would talk mess, and they get them back, and they really genuinely hated each other. Today, these guys are hugging and giving each other kisses and giving them high fives and bowing down and you know, basically showing off for the fans. I don't. Really, that's really not my style, but I do appreciate good baseball, so I definitely will watch it.
That suspense is, like you said, Kenny and Chris, that suspense is no longer there. You never have to wonder. You never have to wonder, like, you're watching all the American League versus American League and National League versus the National League, that so much interleague play has happened because you see these guys go up against each other. Like, they're part of the regular schedule now. At one point, it used to be just you play one team versus the opposite league within that division, and that was it. Then they upped it, and then now you're playing these guys multiple times in a year. Hell, you're playing the interleague at the start of the regular season now. I mean, it's just ridiculous at that point. It was at one point where when you're an American League people, you always wondered, okay, how would this guy fare against somebody in the National League? Your only opportunity, the two opportunities was either the All-Star game and, of course, the World Series, but primarily the All-Star game because that's when you get to see more of them at one spot at the same time. That was the best of the best versus their best of the best. And you really had a hatred for that. You really wanted to beat them. I mean, not to say that it doesn't happen now, but it's like, you know, you want to see Doc Gooden versus Don Mattingly. The only time you happened to see that was the All-Star game. I don't know, just throw out somebody out there, like Roger Clemens versus whoever.
Barry Bonds.
Gwynn, somebody
Barry
like
Bonds.
That.
Anybody
like that. The only opportunity was like that at an All-Star game, and that's you actually set up your day to see that. Like, oh man, AL versus NL, gotta be there, gotta see it. I mean, it's probably still like that to the degree, and you guys are probably going to watch it. I may even watch a little bit of it, but it's not the same luster. You feel me?
Absolutely.
I'm a homer. I'm a homer too, man. I want to go out. I want to see Garner and Sherrod do well.
Exactly.
At the time of that.
You know,
I want to see them go out there and do their thing, man. And you know, and so I'm representing, you know, the Pinstripes by watching that game and cheering for my guys. You know, the cool thing about the All-Star game. I'm talking about baseball here, not the other sports. The best thing about the All-Star game is the introduction.
Yeah, you're right.
Because
it's
fantastic the kind of love that the home guys get, but it's always better to see your guys tip their caps or you know, acknowledge the crowd or whatever it is, and you know, have Joe Buck say something really interesting that you know to spur them along.
Joe Buck.
Kick
the football, buddy.
I'm talking about the All-Star game, Kenny.
Okay.
Damn, but that I really love that part, man. That's what's cool about baseball. Baseball is cool, period. That's just me, though.
Yeah.
All right, Steve.
Do you guys like that concept of a home field advantage? I don't really like that.
Okay.
What's your thoughts?
So many problems with the All-Star game.
Oh,
I'm
going to
watch it.
I'm
going to watch it. I like watching it, but it is just full of flaws, okay? It means too much for what they make it. If it's going to decide home field advantage in the World Series, these managers have to play their best team, okay? I don't want to see – I do want to see all these players, but considering what it means, you should just play your 9 starters the whole game and try to win. You know, guys like Gardner wouldn't get into the game. I want to see Gardner play, but he wouldn't if you're really trying to win. You'd keep Trout in the outfield the whole game. You wouldn't take him out.
Right.
The fan vote gets to me a little bit. Four Royals starting. I mean, they're not that good. Okay, some of them are good. Some of them deserve to start. But not all of them.
I know.
Especially when they had like 9, 8 of them like a couple weeks ago, leading vote getters. I think eventually Major League Baseball will realize that the fan vote is enough, just like the way the NBA realized that with the slam dunk contest. The fan vote was not the correct route, and they went back to the judges. I think we'll end up going back to the writers voting like they did, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And also, it's an extension of interleague play, my problems with interleague play. You didn't get to see Clayton Kershaw take on Mike Trout, okay? But you do now, considering we play them, interleague play is just everywhere. It was a treat to see the AL play the NL. They weren't as connected as they are now. So it's not quite as entertaining for the same reason Judah said, Steve. It's just not the same. It doesn't have the same energy. You don't got guys barreling over catchers and breaking their legs.
Oh yeah,
ending their careers.
Man,
no one.
Speaking about barreling, what's in Cincinnati this year?
Yeah,
I mean, with all this Pete Rose talk, you know.
Golly, what a segue!
I mean, I don't know how you feel. Betting as a player. In the All-Star game, they're going to kill that to death next week when they have that. They're going to kill it.
I'm of the opinion. May I say this? I'm of the opinion of put them in the Hall of Fame and cut
there
the
you go.
Just cut the nonsense. Yeah, betting's a bad thing. Okay, he already served his sentence. We got that. Okay, put him in the Hall of Fame and cut the nonsense. 4,600 hits or whatever he has. That would never, ever happen again. You trying to tell me he bet when he was a rookie, too? You don't know. No. This is ridiculous. The guy, anybody that runs to base, I mean, runs to first base on a walk, barrels over everybody on a base pass, Bud Harrelson, Ray Fosse.
You never see that again.
He was an all-star maybe at four positions, I think. Second base, I know he was there at outfield one time. I know he was a third. I'm not really sure. This guy was a real baseball player. Let's just forget, cut the nonsense and put him in the Hall of Fame. What else do you got against him to do? He didn't rob your mother, you know. What else? You know what you want? He didn't shoot anybody. Did he bet on baseball?
About
he got a little
Pete
bit.
Rose,
he's a competitor.
He's
got
baseball.
Over his head. Forget it.
He's banned from baseball, but he's not necessarily banned from the Hall of Fame. They're two separate organizations.
Yes.
And Cooperstown just adopted that ban that the MLB placed on him. But at any time, they could say, okay, you want to come in? We'll put you on the ballot. And I guarantee you he'll get voted in immediately. The writers had nothing against him, really. I mean, I think eventually he will get in, but that's something that people fail to realize. He's not banned from the Hall of Fame.
Do you guys have a favorite All-Star moment as a kid or as an adult? Is there a particular All-Star game that you like, or maybe it's a home run derby, or is it an actual game? I have two in mind, but I want to hear you guys first. Kenny, if you have one in mind.
Yeah, for sure. I got two, and they're both from the home run derby. One is when Bobby Abreu smashed a ridiculous number of home runs in, like, 2006 or whatever it was. That was really fun to watch. He was never really the same player after that. He hit so many home runs. It was really fun to watch.
Now, he was on Philly
and then,
for that. He was on Philly.
And then
right?
The 08 Derby at Yankee Stadium when Josh Hamilton hit the Bud Light sign at, like, 520 feet. And then he lost.
Yeah, at the old house,
That was fun.
Wow. Well, mine was when I was a little kid, and, of course, I'm a little bit older than you guys, slightly. But I'm very pleased to find that it was on the – it's on YouTube, the entire game. It's wonderful. In Detroit, 1971, both sides, the American League, I think they won 6-4 over the National League at Tiger Stadium, and – all the runs were scored on home runs. There must have been about maybe 20 Hall of Famers there. Let me put it to you this way. And I'm just talking the National League here, okay? The catcher was Johnny Bench, okay? Willie Stargell was the first baseman. The outfielders were Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and Roberto Clemente, okay? Mm-hmm. The shortstop was Bud Harrelson of the Mets. His third baseman was Pete Rose. And I forgot who the second baseman was, but whoever he is, he's in the Hall of Fame, too.
Okay.
And they won 6-4. Frank Robinson was the MVP of the American League. That was the, he had the game-winning home run. It was the first time two black starters were ever in the started the game. That's Vida Blue versus Doc Ellis. But the highlight of the game was when Doc Ellis in the fourth inning pitched against Reggie Jackson. Doc Ellis threw a fastball about waist high, and Reggie Jackson hit that damn thing so far, so hard, it hit a transformer and put a dent in it that was on top of the roof of Tiger Stadium, some 560 feet away. It was hit so hard that Roberto Clemente, who was known as a fantastic outfielder, never moved.
Mm-hmm.
Never moved. He got into a stance, you know, as Doc went into a stretch. Doc threw the ball, Reggie hit it, and Roberto just watched it go. He never moved. He never took a step back. Instinctively, you know, how you take a step back or you move forward or you just jump at the swing. He never moved. As soon as he heard it, he hit the bat. That was it. It's incredible, and you guys got to go on YouTube and see it. It's probably the craziest. And the call from it by Kirk Gowdy. Gowdy almost, I can swear the band soiled his pants, man, because it was hit so far, and the crowd lost it. They were cheering about the home run for another additional four innings. So that's a treat. It's my all-star memory, and it stays with me forever, man.
My first one. It was 90, let's see, it was 90, mid-90s, I think it was 94. That was the one in one of those cookie-cutter stadiums. I have to remember by venues, too, the cookie-cutter stadium. You know what I'm talking about, Chris? When all those stadiums, you had the Vet had it, the one in Philadelphia had it, Cincinnati
pretty
had
average.
One of those, it used to be, what's it, Riverfront Stadium, they used to call it. And then I think this one was where Pittsburgh played. Was it Three Rivers?
Yeah, Three Rivers.
The Circle Stadiums, and that was the one
Circle
where Tony Gwynn won the game in the bottom of the 10th.
Yeah,
I think Boykins
and
Lou hit that double or hit a long mm-hmm. single or double, and they waved them all the way from first. That was a great game, man. That game went into extra innings. I remember they waved him home, but that was a great All Star weekend. That 94. That was Griffey was on display with the home run derby. Oh, that was a great game. I'm an AL guy because I root for the Yankees. I'm pro AL, but even when the National League won it, that was just a great moment to me. The way the high fiving. I mean, that was a great moment for baseball. All in all, I love that All Star game in particular. For some reason, it was just Maddox was pitching for the NL.
Mm-hmm.
For the AL, I can't see. I'm trying to think. I know Pudge Rodriguez was in that game. He was a catcher. I think Frank Thomas may have won the home run derby, if I remember. But they had the Yankees. Jimmy Key was the starter. Remember Jimmy Key, number 22?
Yeah, I remember Jimmy Key. Yep.
Yeah, he was in that All Star game for the Yankees. Wade Boggs was there for the Yankees playing third. This is right before the first World Series, the first batch
mm-hmm.
World Series. I say first batch
right.
of World Series. But that was my first moment. also, now I have to be honest, man. Don't shoot me, man. But this was some amazing crap that I saw. Now, 5 years later, when Pedro was right back on the scene after he left
mm-hmm.
Montreal and went to Boston, he
mm-hmm.
K'd like the first five out of six guys, when he was for the Red Sox,
man,
he was mowing down cats
God.
In '99. In Boston, that was great. I can't even.
That
front.
Was fantastic.
That was good.
And
that was great.
I have to
tip my cap to
uniform.
That.
That's right. And I didn't want to admit it because he was in a certain uniform, but
it is what it is.
I'm pretty sure. I know the first three batters went down on 10 pitches. That I remember. They went down on 10 pitches. I was like, you gotta remember though during that period. You gotta remember,
yeah.
that, Steve. I can say this about Pedro now because he's retired, but anywhere
exactly.
from 98 through 2004-ish.
He was much worse.
That was potentially a no-hit night every night with this guy. I don't know what season it was, but he had a 1.71 ERA in this game.
It was ridiculous.
For 280 innings? Are you kidding me? It was silly. And you couldn't even argue with that because listen, that was supposedly I'm putting quotation marks here. that was supposedly the steroid era. Well, look, steroids, hey, look, he silenced back then. Yes, he did. And another thing about that home run, that moment there, Steve, that you're talking about, the box strikeout, Barry Bonds went down on three swinging pitches. He couldn't do nothing. And he was mad.
Oh, man.
He was mad. Wanted to argue with the umpire. The umpire was like, get out of here, man. You just look bad. You look like you were in Little League. Get the hell out of here. He was embarrassed. I love that moment. But I couldn't really cheer because that was the Yankees were in their moments at that time, and Pedro had that uniform on, and I just feel a certain way about that. That's all I got to say.
Well, let me ask you. That's a good question. I want to ask both of you guys. When it's the All-Star game, and you are you cheering for the American League? And what happens, let's say, a Red Sox pitcher is on the mound? Do you cheer for him? Do you go against him? Like, how do you feel about that?
Okay, Kenny.
Yeah, I still root for the American League. The Red Sox, I don't like the Red Sox, but they're not playing the Yankees. So they're playing some National League team that I really don't care that much about. I root American League. Remember in 08 when, was that, J.D. Drew, Stevens' brother, the mighty Stevens' brother, hit that walked-off sack fly in the 15th? I was happy. I'm like, oh, I wasn't going to be like, that was J.D. Drew. I don't like that. I think that's a pretty good example. I wish it was the AL.
Okay, fair. What about you, Chris?
I don't know the year. But I think I want to ballpark it around 03, 02, 03. But again, Pedro's pitching, and you know, it was later than that. It had to be 04, 05, maybe something like that. But we had about four or five starters, man, and it wasn't Pedro. Sorry, let me back this up. It had to be maybe 05, 04, 05, 06. We had about five starters on that team, and including Mo in the bullpen. And there was a Boston pitcher. I'm trying to remember who it was. I keep coming up with Branson Pinchot, but it wasn't him. It was somebody else. But somebody was on the mound for them, and I had to cheer. I had to root for the guy because my guys are out in the field. So at that time, you put your prejudices down. You say, yeah. I have to cheer for this Boston pitcher. I've got to do it, especially since Jeter and A-Rod and who else was it? And these guys are out in the outfield. So I had to do it. So, yeah, it happens sometimes. But just for that night, as that Dream Girls play goes, one night only. That's it. That's the only time I'm only cheering for – anything from that area, anybody from that team in that area, in the Northeast, just this one time when it comes to baseball, and it's always at the All-Star game in mid-July. So there you go,
Kenny and Chris. So what's the alternative as far as getting rid of the exhibition game as far as home field advantage in the World Series? I agree, it's ridiculous. But what's the alternative? Should we go back to best record, depending on the league, or should we alternate each year? Should we? Is it best to? What are some recommendations? What would you put?
I mean, alternating is not the way to go, just because it's not fair. You got a really really good team that doesn't have home field advantage. I think you should do what the other sports do, and just the team with the best record.
Yeah.
Gets home field advantage. I think that's,
I guess so. Yeah.
If you're going to keep interleague play, then you can do that. If you're going to keep all this interleague play, then the record is supposedly, you know, it's equal for the two. It's on the same level playing field.
Yeah.
I would prefer they got rid of interleague play altogether. And
yes.
I agree.
And then you can let the All-Star game decide it. That would be my preference, but if you're – I don't really see them getting rid of an only play, so then they can't really do that.
Yeah, yeah. Chris, what about you? Same thing.
I'm with Kenny. First of all, you gotta get rid of. You know,
I understand Bud Selig, you know, he put a panel together and he wanted to make baseball more interesting and bring more fans in and all this kind of stuff, but some of this stuff needs to go. And interleague play is number one at the top of my list. You have to develop some kind of competition with these guys. If you know, we're the Yankees, so if we've already played the Giants or the Dodgers six times this year, what kind of surprises are there going to be in the World Series, man?
There's no surprise. That element of surprise is gone. Anticipation.
It's gone. You got to bring it back. I want them to wonder, and it's going to sound funny the way I say this, but bear with me. I want them to wonder what Kershaw is throwing. You know what I mean? I don't want them to already go in there knowing it because it's going to feel like it's a division situation.
Yeah.
You know? And the same thing for us. I don't want them to know that Tanaka or Nova have what they have. You know? I don't. I'd rather just the idea of suspense and, okay, we're at the pinnacle here, and let's go at them is much better that way than, okay, we played these guys before. We know what they consist of. We have the film on them. We've gotten millions of scouting reports. That network shows them all the time, and they've already told us in so many words what they consist of. So let's go out there and play them because this is going to be easy, or this is going to be difficult, or this is what we can do. I'd rather it just be competition like it used to be. You know, managers that are not familiar with each other, you know, teams that haven't gone to each other's stadiums throughout the years. You know, I'd rather work it that way. I'd rather go to the old system where a manager will ask a pitcher that he picked up from that team or played against that team a year ago, get the scouting from them. What is this guy? What's it about this guy's screwball? Did he lose it last year after he had surgery with it? I want that back. You don't have that anymore, Steve. You don't have that anymore. Now you know everybody's stuff is right there on the table for everyone to see. If it's not there to see it, well, hey, you can look it up right on your on Microsoft and or on your iPhone, and you can see what's going on. It's not fun that way anymore. It's not a surprise, and it's much better the way we do it. By the way, I was wrong earlier in what I said about that All-Star game. That All-Star game had Pete Rose starting at second base, and Bud Harrelson was at short. The third baseman, you know who the third baseman was? Joe Torre.
Atlanta Braves.
For the Cardinals.
Hall of Famer.
Okay.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's get some final thoughts real quick. Let's get Kenny, your final thoughts with the Yankees heading this weekend at Fenway, and then anything with the All-Star real quick. We got about 90 seconds, though.
Yeah, I like where we're at this point in the year. I'm psyched for this upcoming series with the Sox. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was thinking this wasn't really going to mean that much, but Red Sox were right there, 5.5 back in the East. One little sweep of our Yankees, they could be right there. I'm hoping that's not going to happen, but it could. These Red Sox have been known to go on tears. And I'm definitely looking forward to watching the All-Star game, home run derby, seeing Tex and Patances and Garner get their turn in the spotlight.
Yeah, I'll be real quick. I will be on New York Yankees talk throughout the whole All-Star game, just chopping it up with New York Yankees talk. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay.
No. Kenny said it all. We're looking good. We got a series this weekend with the Red Sox. Oops, I said it. We won our last two games. We look good at home. We're leading our division. There's not much more to say, man. We're looking good going to the All-Star game, much better than we anticipated, and we're going to take it from there. We're going to resume when we come back.
Yeah, let's take 2 out of 3.
Yes,
let's gun for 2 out of 3. That's how I look at it, at minimum.
Yes,
two
there
out
you
of
go.
Three. Go for the sweep, but 2 out of 3 at minimum. Kenny D, C. Miles, Steve, other than that, Bleed Blue.
Bleed Blue.
Bleed Blue. Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.